Steve Mercer, Vice President of Communications with U.S. Wheat Associates.
Steve, as you look at the current situation with Canadian wheat exports to Japan and South Korea being suspended because of the confirmation of some GM wheat, what's the takeaway for U.S. wheat growers right now?
Well, of course, we've been in that situation ourselves, haven't we? Twice now, once in 13, once in 2015. So the situation is fairly familiar. I think that the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, which was responsible for the investigation into this very isolated event, we feel like they've done a very good job. And a good job in the sense that they have done everything they can to investigate the situation and reassure all customers that the wheat supply from Canada remains safe, wholesome, and this is a message that we tried to provide as well. Of course, for folks in agriculture, you know, finding a small number of GM plants isn't all that big of a deal, but it certainly is to consumers in certain places. Japan, Korea, very sensitive to that. Their actions were fairly predictable, similar to what they did when the situations happened in the United States. They're cautious, and they will get a test, and they will start testing every load of wheat. And they've been doing that for a long time for U.S. wheat and have never found any issue with any wheat that has the Roundup Ready event.
Going back to the cases of U.S. GM wheat in 2013 and 2015, about how long did it take some of those countries, Japan specifically, before they reopened their doors?
Yeah, in both cases, they were able to get a test and get it into place. And I think within 2.5 months, the first time it was maybe 3 months, but the second time they were able to get the right test and reopen the markets again within a couple of months. So from what we understand, even if they do delay their regular purchase of Canadian wheat, and I do have to say that Japan is very regimented in how it purchases wheat. You can almost pick to the day when they're going to tender for wheat and how much they're going to tender for and where from. So very consistent, and so it should not be a problem. Shouldn't cause too much problem in terms of losses of sales to Canada, for example. And any loss, any market disruption, especially related to something like this, is not good for any farmer anywhere. We certainly can empathize with what's going on in Canada for the producers there. We serve the Japanese market, serve the Korean market, and so any situation that might damage the reputation of imported wheat in those overseas markets is not good. But I think in this case, as the U.S. Industry did, the Canadian industry has done a very good job of reassuring customers around the world.
So you don't put much, if any, stock in the notion that Japan and South Korea would need to look elsewhere for wheat right now and that the U.S. could help supplement that?
I really don't think so. Just based on our experience in the past, there was, I guess you could attribute a little bit of loss in some soft wheat sales the first time, but once they were through the testing and were reassured, they just picked right up where they left off. And so in the big picture here, we're at the beginning of a marketing year, with the new crop coming on, and so I would be very, very surprised if this incident caused any loss in sales for Canada, or frankly, any increase in sales for the United States.
And finally, Steve, when you look at global acceptance of genetically modified crops, certainly corn and soybeans, some of the regulatory hurdles that those crops face, but with wheat, kind of explain the stance of these countries that at this point, as far as like commercial wheat, no GM wheat has access to any market, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we have official documentation from the Federal Grain Inspection Service, APHIS, that there's no wheat with GM events in commercial production or for sale. Canada has a very similar situation as well. The situation goes back several years ago to a decision not to develop Roundup Ready wheat, and of course that was back in 2004. It's interesting to get some perspective on that. Is the reason the United States U.S. Wheat Associates, our board of farmers, decided not to support GM traits at that time was because we felt that the old Canadian Wheat Board, which was a single desk buyer and seller and competed very aggressively with the United States, we didn't feel that they were going to go for it. And so that would have put us at a disadvantage. So that was part of the reason why that decision was made. There are certainly concerns in several overseas buyer countries, Japan, Korea, European Union. So that did play a factor. But several years ago, when we saw world supply of wheat going down, prices going up, we ourselves, the National Association of Wheat Growers, and also grower groups in Canada and Australia, very aggressively went out to the tech providers and said, we really need to pick back up on the investment in research in wheat, and GM was one of those traits going forward. As it turns out, the business now is turning toward more of the new innovations in breeding, gene editing, and others. And down the road, that'll be the next step, is to talk with our customers about that. But I will say that U.S. Wheat Associates, NOG, together have been very strong advocates for ensuring that our farmers that we represent have the technology they need and that they want. But we're also strongly supportive of a choice for our customers overseas who may not want to buy GM wheat in the future.
And Steve, while I've got you on the phone, if you could just comment in general about these trade disruptions that are ongoing, the Chinese tariff retaliation, the NAFTA renegotiation, and its impact on U.S. wheat exports. Maybe the potential impact is what you're looking at now, but certainly as these negotiations, I won't say fall apart, but things aren't looking real good right now. What kind of an impact are you kind of bracing for?
Well, there's the African saying that when the elephants fight, the grass suffers. I think, unfortunately, in this case, the grass is the wheat that's growing in farmers' fields. A 25% tariff, potentially, retaliatory tariff from China on U.S. wheat. China actually is a very large buyer of U.S. wheat. They have huge stocks. They produce more than any other country in the world, but they need higher quality wheat. They need spring wheat. They need good quality hardwood winter wheat, soft wheat up in the Pacific Northwest that they can't get anywhere else. And so over the past 5 years, they've imported an average of over 1 million metric tons of wheat. A metric ton's about 37 bushels of wheat. So big buyers. And if you take a 25% jump in price, that's going to have a chilling effect. There's no doubt about it. And they can still, and they do buy from Canada, from Australia, from even from Kazakhstan. And so it could have a very big impact. And as we've talked about, we certainly know that China cheats on its trade policy. We have developed information that actually was helpful in leading up to the World Trade Organization cases on China's domestic support for wheat and for its management of a tariff rate quota. In other words, according to the WTO, they're supposed to import a certain amount of wheat without a tariff, but they've found ways to get around that. And so their policies are not conducive to the best sales potential. We're working toward that. We appreciate the administration's support of those cases, but what what we feel, what our wheat farmers feel, is that the government ought to be using the processes in place through the World Trade Organizations and others to fight problems. These tariffs, it's only going to hurt wheat farmers, and agriculture always gets hit first.
Steve, anything else on the trade situation or with Canada that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, you know, it's interesting when we talk about Canada and where they're exporting to. Actually, the United States is the biggest buyer of Canadian wheat in the world. Of course, they produce a lot of spring wheat in the western provinces, and just proximity to flour mills and other companies in that area. If a flour mill or a buyer can get wheat a little cheaper from Canada, they will do that. And so they import, we import in the United States about 3 million metric tons of Canadian wheat every year. So it's a pretty big buyer. We're disappointed, of course, that U.S. farmers can't really drive across the border and sell their wheat in Canada and have the wheat be graded the same way Canadian wheat is. That's a big problem that hopefully in the NAFTA renegotiations we can address the incongruity there. You know, the border is open for Canadian farmers, but it's not so open for U.S. farmers. So that's an area that we want to look at, and of course NAFTA renegotiations will have a big impact on our situation with Mexico. Mexico is our biggest wheat importer in the world, and so, you know, we have said from the beginning, please do no harm in these renegotiations, and hopefully we'll see that continue.
With Canada's system, I know that the veil's been pulled back in certain aspects of the renegotiation, but have you heard much specific talk about Canada being open to making some changes to give greater access to U.S. wheat?
Well, at one time, there was talk about it. Who knows what the political situation, what kind of chilling effect that's had. You know, it would take a pretty significant change. In fact, a change in Canada's law. So it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of negotiation along those lines. And, you know, we have a good relationship with the producers there. The Western Canadian Growers Association is in favor of making the change, but it's going to take an act of parliament to make that change.